Welcome to the first episode of the Love, Baby, and Toddler podcast. We're so excited to be here. Today, we're going to talk about our transition into motherhood. We're going to talk about how we prepared for motherhood, what our actual experiences were like, and how our lives stayed the same, how things changed once we brought our babies into the world, and how our expectations were different than what we experienced. So to start this episode, I want to ask you, Meg, how did you prepare to become a mom?
I feel like when I'm thinking back on it, this question is so hard for me to answer because I tried to prepare, did some reading, listened to some podcasts for birth, right? Like kind of knew a little bit about pregnancy. I was lucky to have a fairly simple pregnancy. So I feel like I didn't have to prepare to be pregnant, but I think a lot of my focus while I was pregnant was focusing on the birth experience. And yeah. I don't necessarily think I did much research or even like thought that much about how my life was going to change the second that we brought this baby into the world. Like it wasn't like there were no PDFs I could pull up that were like steps 1 through 10 on like how your life's going to change as soon as you become a mom. Like that was definitely not at all. I mean, does it exist? Maybe. Was it on my radar? No. And I think that becoming a mom for the first time, I have one child, I'm just not sure if there's anything you can like do to fully prepare yourself for how it changes almost every aspect in your life. So I'm not sure that even if I had like read a little bit more or tried to prepare for it, like if, like how much that would have helped me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I think it absolutely does. I think there's so much focus on pregnancy and birth. There's so many books, What to Expect When You're Expecting. I mean, that's just the very basic one. But the apps, I mean, there's so many apps out there for pregnancy. It's like, you know, Pregnancy Plus, What to Expect. Like, there's Ovia. There's so many apps out there for pregnancy. The Bump. There's so many. And then there's all the, you know, do you need a birth plan? Do you need a doula? Are you going to have a cesarean? Are you going to have a vaginal? There's so much focus on the pregnancy and the birth that I would say I was probably in the same boat as you. I mean, I did think about childcare. That is one area where we had to kind of think about what that would look like for us. Both my husband and I work full time. So that's one area that we prepared. And then obviously, you know, the baby registry stuff, which, you know, mm-hmm. I think that's another big thing that you do while pregnant is kind of look at what do you need? What are the must-haves? What are the things that you don't need? What is, and with your first baby, it's like you want everything. You think you need everything. And so I think it's hard to kind of narrow down what products should you spend a little bit more money on or register for more expensive, and what do you need the basic? Like, for example, you and I are huge fans of Ergo baby carriers. Those ones, you know, because of the hips and the way the baby sits, you don't know as a first-time mom necessarily that you want to make sure you get one that puts your baby in the correct position versus just the cheap $20 one. Like there's certain things that you're going to want to invest a little bit more in baby products and others not. And so I would say for me, that was one area where I kind of threw myself into looking into products when I couldn't sleep or when I was just, you know, when you don't have kids, it's hard to think back now. I've been a mom mm-hmm. for like 4.5 years. So not that long, but it's hard to think back like what life was like where I had a moment to just outside of when the kids are sleeping, but pre-kids, it was just like, you could lounge around whenever you wanted. And so that's what I did was kind of look at products and that I prepared in that sense.
And I think that because you did that, I benefited from that because you had your daughter before I had mine.
Yeah.
So I remember asking you a million things. And even now, sometimes I'll say something and my husband, Dean, will be like, well, ask Molly, where's Molly think? Has Molly done reading on that? And I'm like, so I think in turn, you have helped me. You helped me prepare, you know, in that sense. And I, though, we had a different experience because we lived in a small 2-bedroom apartment when we welcomed Emmy into the world. So it was like, we couldn't have maybe as many things or as large of items as people that live in a house could have had. So we decided, you know, on like, we have the Up a Baby cruise stroller as opposed to the Vista, right? So it's like a little smaller size, but I knew from nannying that I love the Up a Baby. So that was one thing in my mind that I was like, I want this stroller. So I think in terms of like products and registry and like physical things that I wanted to have as a mom. And like you were saying, like, I feel like that list, I was like pretty good at kind of formulating that list, knowing what I wanted. I think in terms of like mentally preparing on how every single thing was going to shift with all of my relationships, including my relationship, like within myself, I think that was very difficult to even like, to even fathom how that was going to change.
Yeah. And I think you're absolutely right that there really is nothing that can prepare you for that. I mean, if you've nannied before, if you have siblings, if you're around kids, if you're a teacher, nothing, like nothing is the same as bringing home your own baby. And not only that, I have multiple children. I have three. And each time, nothing can prepare you for how different each one is, because every single baby is different. So, you know, even if you have been around kids, you could have just the calmest baby who sleeps amazing, or you could have a baby who's, you know, a little bit more colicky or has reflux or, you know, doesn't nurse and, or, you know, needs special formula because they have 79 allergies. I mean, it's just, that journey is going to look so different for every single person. And even within, if you grow your family. So I think you're right. Like, to mentally prepare for that, you have no idea. And then your hormones are all over the place. So I think it is really hard to prepare. But I think for me, it would have been nice to know, to just kind of think about that ahead of time. Like, it's not really talked about what actually happens when the baby comes home. It's more pregnancy and like, what's your birth plan? Like you were saying, you know, and thoughts around that, but there's not talk, at least I never had these talks to know what that was like. People do talk about like prepare to never sleep again.
That's exactly what I was just going to say. That's all I ever heard. Like, yeah. Okay, pregnancy is great. What's your birth plan? Prepare to never sleep again. And then like that conversation kind of ends. And I remember my husband, I think I was like super pregnant. I went an entire week past my due date. And I remember Dean very seriously being like, am I going to be able to go to the gym again? Like, or will I be able to go once the baby is here? And I was just like, yeah, like, of course. But I think that was like kind of his way of like, preparing about how things were going to change. And like, in my mind, I was just like, yeah, duh, like that's not going to change. And meanwhile, as soon as I had the baby and I'm like, you know, it's very different. And I think there is a lot to be said, like how our lives change as the people who like birth the baby versus how immediate family members' lives change, whether it's your partner, whether it's another child in the family, your mom who lives with you, like how her dynamic changed with who she was taking care of. It really affects a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. It does. It really does. And I think it's just interesting that there's no, not only for when you bring the baby home, but when they turn one and things change and they start dropping naps. Or for me, when my kids have turned two and that's when the real sleep troubles happen. I never heard in my life that there was going to be these huge issues once they no longer were in a crib. And so there's so much talk, like you're never going to sleep again before a baby comes, but it's like these older milestones as well that really do shift everything. And so it's just interesting in the way you prepare and also how you can prepare both mentally and just also in whatever other way that you can. So I wanted to ask you, what was your experience like when you came home? Was it as you expected?
Looking back on it, I 100% had some degree of postpartum anxiety. I think that I had an emergency C-section that I was not at all prepared for. I had not even Googled C-section recovery once during my entire pregnancy, like going into the birth. It just was not on my radar. So I think that was jarring for my entire, you know, obviously my physical, but also like for my mental health, because you are, you know, you go through, my mom always laughs because the nurses and the doctors said this like 20 times a day, like it's a major abdominal surgery. And you have to take care of yourself and you have to recover from that surgery while also keeping a newborn baby, you know, like fed, taken care of, changed, essentially alive. So I think after bringing her home, we were in the hospital, I think like 4 days and then three, 4 days. And then when we finally got home, it was like, you know, my mom was here, but you're kind of just like on your own. There's no nurses showing you how to do a bath. There's nobody that's like making sure the baby's being fed every two and a half hours, whatever it is, whatever time frame they're on at that point. And that's when it kind of becomes like a mental game on top of your hormones. So, you know, you have an app, you can track like pee and poop. And my daughter was not peeing as much as they wanted her to pee, like amount wise and consistency or frequency wise. So that on top of everything else, I'm like trying to breastfeed, trying to make sure she's peeing. We would see like the tiniest blue dot on the stripe of, you know, like on the Pampers, how the yellow turns blue when there's pee. And that the first week or so was like all I could think about on top of not sleeping and being hormonal. So that I think immediately it was like just a whirlwind. And I forgot what I was going to say. Go ahead.
No, yeah, I agree with you. It's almost like I've seen these TikToks. There was one that went viral where it was like a mom who was like, I get to keep this baby like forever by myself. Like, you're letting me go. Just that's it. Like, here you go. Go ahead. Like, after if you have a hospital birth and you're so hands-on, these nurses are checking on you every 2 hours. They're like, what do you need? They're very helpful in the hospital. And then you get checked out and it's like, okay, bye. See you never.
And like, wait a minute. Nobody's going to deliver me ice chips at home.
Yeah. Right. It's just like there's no manual. And it just, I just remember when I had my first, I had a 24-hour checkout and for no other reason than it was just, everything went smooth. And the next day goes around, they're like, do you want to go home? And we were like, oh, okay. Like, I expected we would be staying, but my mom was here. So I was like, okay, yeah, my mom's here. So I felt good about it. But we went home and I was just like, oh my gosh, like we have a child now. And it's just such a shift in everything. And you're right. It's like you're in the hospital, they're telling you to track everything. How often are you nursing? How often are they peeing? How often are they pooping? And so you're really focused on that. And then you have to take them to the pediatrician 24 hours later. And you have to, you know, and I remember we had her on a Thursday. So we left the hospital on a Friday. And so they're like, you have to bring her to the pediatrician within 24 hours. So it was a weekend. And I call the pediatrician while I'm still at the hospital. And they're like, oh no, we don't have any appointments. I'm like, but they told me I have to be here. You have to have an appointment. That's what you do. And they were like, no, you can come Monday. And I'm like, no, I can't. They say, you know, and I'm like freaking out. I'm like, what do we do? And it's just like these. And I remember they asked me for her name and I give my name and they asked her like her birthday and I give my birthday, because it's just like, you know, you're not in that mindset of like, oh, you want her like this other person. It's just this whole new world. It's just such a mind shift when you bring your first child home.
Okay, before we get into that, let's take a quick pause and hear a word about our sponsors. If you've been following us on Instagram or TikTok, you know that we share products that we love and use every single day. I have potty trained 3 kids, and if someone were to ask me what my number one potty training must-have is, it would be the Pawtette. It's a portable potty. It's so versatile. It can be used on the go. It can be used in your car, at home, at the park. I recently used it at the zoo. It's really the only potty you ever need. You can use it. You fold it out and you can use it on the ground. You can use it on top of an actual toilet. It's incredible. We're so excited to have Cal & Co, the creators of the Pawtette, as the sponsor of our first podcast episode.
I've only potty trained 1 kid so far, and I'm about to start potty training my second, my 2-year-old Scotty. We keep a Pawtette in each of our cars, and this time we're also going to use it in our house when we get started. Being a parent on the go, we typically set up the Pawtette in our trunk when there isn't a public one available. It makes it so easy and gives us the peace of mind knowing that if our 4-year-old needs to go to the bathroom, we have one with us at all times. If you have a toddler who's starting potty training or you're on the go and you could use a travel potty in your diaper bag or in your car, you can check out the Pawtette on Amazon. We're also going to put a direct link in the show notes.
And that is Pawtette, Pawtette. Check it out on Amazon. It is. And it changes, I mean, everything, right? So like, it changes your schedule. If you, whatever kind of schedule you had before you brought the baby home, right? You bring the baby home and everything is just all over the place. I remember at one point we were like, oh, great. She's like kind of on a schedule. And we were starting bedtime, her bedtime routine at midnight, because that was the schedule that made sense. And then, like, you know, a month later it changes. And I, you know, obviously, at least for me, as not obvious, but for me, as she got a little bit older, I do think it got easier. But then a lot of other aspects of your personal life are totally flipped upside down, right? So like, you can't just like randomly go on a date night and stay out and just like have drinks until 2 a.m. whenever you want to anymore with your partner, or even like with your friends. That's totally different. You know, maybe your friends stop inviting you places because they're not sure if you would want to go. And then friendships start to shift and change a little bit. Your own routine, like say you had a workout routine, which you can't do again until at least 6 weeks, right? Like that's totally changed. And then your relationship with your partner could become like way more strained because everybody's exhausted. If you're breastfeeding and you're the one that has milk and you're the one that has nipples, and then your partner might not have nipples that are producing milk, even though they have nipples, that in itself can be tough. And I remember one point, even months down the road, Emmy would wake up in the middle of the night and I would go in there and she would be just like happy and nurse herself back to sleep. And I'd be like, oh, Dean, can you just try? And the second he would walk in there, she would just scream. So it's just, you know, like there's just so many layers to it and so many things that like being the preferred parent, especially during the breastfeeding era of her life, like that's a level of exhaustion that you can't even explain.
And I don't know about you, but I know for me, I have this kind of like, I know I'm going to do it right and the way I want it done. So with my partner, with my husband, Corin, you know, he maybe would say, well, let me help you. And I'm like, no, because you're not going to do it right. And then I'm going to have, it's going to like take longer or it's this and it's that. And it's like taking on every single thing for everyone. And now we're a family of five. And I'm like, at some point, like you've seen me do it so often, so you should know how to do it the right way. So I don't, you know, those are that's how it's like shifted now after having multiple kids. But even after the first, I mean, with all the things that kind of pile on you, especially for us, Corin, I think had two or three weeks off of work. And then he was working from home a couple days a week and then going into the office. So when he was home, he would help me and stuff. But then when he was going into the office and I was on maternity leave, I'm doing all the stuff in the day. And so all of the, it's just like, can I find a time to shower, to brush my teeth? And it really, I always used to think when people would say that, I'm like, you are being a little dramatic. Like you don't have time to brush your teeth. There would be times and it'd be 5 o'clock and I'm like, I just need to brush my teeth for the day. Like, I don't know. I still just don't know how that happens. But each time I've had a baby, there are days where I'm like, how have I not even brushed my teeth yet?
Okay. Well, Emmy's three and I forgot to brush my teeth 2 days ago.
So. Well, yeah. I mean, it's just like sometimes you just get going and it's hard to like make your way back there and do those things or just get 2 minutes with all the breastfeeding and pumping and taking on things. And so I think it's hard to prepare for that, but like it's really life changing. It's really hard and amazing at the same time. And today, actually, the day we're recording this, my third baby turned one. So just thinking about the last year and what that experience was like the first time around versus the third time around, it's very different. And I was thinking today, just this third time around, how much more enjoyable it was for me because I didn't have the same anxieties as I did with my first two. I didn't have, you know, the first one, I was like nervous about a lot of things. I was like confident, but also nervous and not sure about a lot of things and just like a new mom and learning my baby. The second one, I feel like I knew too much, which worried me. I'm like, oh my gosh, she should be hitting this milestone by this time. So I need to bring her to the doctor. I brought her to the doctor way more. And my doctor's like, relax, she's fine. And then this time, I feel like I just, like she turned one today. She's not walking. She's not really saying any words, but like, I know she's doing it in her own time. Whereas with the other two, I'd probably be really worried. And I feel like I'm just kind of able to sit back and enjoy things a little bit more. I'm still nursing her in the night. And like, I don't care. It's just like a different feeling the third time around than it was with the other two. So each time, like I said, kind of at the beginning, it's been different. The preparation has been different and the experience has been extremely different.
Let me ask you, I see this question asked, I feel like on Instagram a ton in like ask me anythings or whatever. Do you know what I'm going to say? I think you might. I can't answer this at this point in my life, but what was the hardest transition for you? Was it having 0 to 1 kid going from your first to your second or from your second to your third?
I would say second to third has been easiest. And I would say the 0 to 1 wasn't bad. I think 2, 1 to 2 for me was the hardest. And I think I cried like every day during that one, my second. And I think, I don't know what it was, but she was a COVID baby. So we were like kind of she was born January 27th. My sister flew here from China like the day she was born, and she came from China and they started having cases in China. So it was like right when COVID started. And so I think just kind of like the uncertainty in the world, and I would like watch and Google and everything about COVID, and having a baby who she had a lot of sinus stuff and breathing stuff, that it made me really worried for her. And so I think it was more like I was nervous what would happen if she got COVID, because it was so unknown at that time, on top of just, you know, being a new mom and the anxieties and hormone changes and things like that. So it was a weird time because we were all home. So I had a lot of support, but I also just felt really not in a good headspace during that like initial postpartum. And then I got pregnant when Scotty, my middle, was six months old. So she was still really young when I was pregnant again. So I had 2 under 2 and was also pregnant. So
I also would just wanted to add to what you just said, like, even though you had family around all the time, everyone was working from home, it was lockdown season, that doesn't mean you can't still kind of feel like isolated a little bit or lonely, or just like you could still be in your feelings during that time, you know, like it's not like just because you had people around, like you shouldn't feel like,
yeah,
you should be into that headspace.
It's true. And it's almost like because Corn was home, he was still working, he wasn't really available to help with things. And my mom would take Nick's to watch her at a friend's house. So like I would have time to bond with the baby, and then Corin would be working. But I just felt like I was always pumping, I was always nursing her. She wouldn't take a bottle at all. So I was constantly just attached to her. And for me, I love working out of the home. I'm a working mom, and that balance is really what works for me and my family. And with her and COVID, I didn't really go back to work. So I was always home. And I mean, everybody with COVID, you were always home for like 2 years. And that just for me isn't a good mix. So I don't feel like I was like in the best headspace. And even thinking back on her as a baby, I feel like I missed out the most with her. Even though I spent the most time with her, I was home with her for a solid 18 months. I was still working, but like I was home. And I just feel like I didn't connect with her the same way as a baby as I did with the other two, which is kind of strange.
Well, I think it's fascinating. And I also think that, you know, years down the road, we don't have to get into COVID, but I think years down the road, there will be many studies done that will show how COVID affected people mentally, physically, obviously, but also mentally based on their ages, right? So like how it affected you as with a newborn baby versus how it might have affected a 10-year-old or a 9-year-old. And I think that we all were impacted by it, whether it was a direct impact or whether it kind of just like slowly just like wore away at our mental health.
Yeah.
And I do want to say though, I forgot to add this before, that I think that the hardest part for me postpartum, it was like a two-part thing. I think it was becoming a mom to me felt incredible, amazing, obviously, you know, like there's, I feel like such a double-edged sword, if that's the right phrase. I loved it. I loved having her and holding her and nursing her. Obviously, I was so exhausted, but at the same time, I felt like it was very isolating because Dean was mostly working in the office and I was home on maternity leave, and all of my other friends, A, didn't have kids, and B, they were all working. And I felt just like very alone at home a lot of the time. And I don't know why. And I wished I would have done this. And I don't know why I didn't. I didn't join any like new moms groups or expecting moms groups. And looking back on it, I think that's the one thing that I wished I would have looked into more.
Yeah.
Just like having that. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say you're lucky you're in Manhattan and they have tons of things like that. Like they don't really have that here.
Well, I mean, and look, I didn't even take advantage of it because I didn't realize, I don't know if I was like intimidated or didn't realize how much I
would need it.
Yeah. To have that support. I mean, I had you and I had my friend Christina who both had babies like somewhat recently, but I think, and we've talked about this previously a bunch too, about like, there's just such a difference in having friends in person that you can actually see face to face. And I definitely dropped the ball on that. And that's one thing, if I could go back, or if I'm, you know, anyone is looking for some advice, if you're an expecting mother, that is the one thing I wish I would have done. I wish I would have had a group of like new moms, or even, you know, met these moms during pregnancy that I could have kind of transitioned into motherhood with. And I think that would have helped with my, excuse me, with my kind of like isolation feelings.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And because I think seeing, not that you want to see other people struggle, but knowing that there are people who are, maybe they're dealing with something a little bit different. Like I said before, maybe it's colic, maybe it's nursing struggles, maybe it's sleeping trouble. But knowing that everybody, like no one has this perfect situation, and just kind of hearing about it and then being able to talk about it, and maybe you're doing well with nursing and that's an area where you're struggling, you guys can give each other tips and you can talk about it. And I think that's kind of something that is really helpful, and something, not to keep talking about COVID, but feels like really in the last 2 years, social media has exploded with resources and exploded with professionals in different fields, and a lot in this motherhood space, which I think is fantastic for a lot of free resources. I think it can also be really overwhelming as a new mom. And I think that actually played a big part in my feelings with Scotty, is the stuff I would see on social media, especially in like development, where I would see someone kind of talking about a certain stage and I would be like, oh, she's not doing that. I need to take her to the doctor, because they would be like, you know, early evaluation is key, early intervention is key. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there's all these things wrong. And so it's amazing because, like I said, there's tons of resources. But I, to the kind of friend thing, I think there's so many resources out there to try and take advantage of that and find people. And I kind of agree with, like, I do agree with you. It can be so isolating. Just no one, like your partner doesn't understand it. Like they just don't. Like I love my husband, but he just doesn't understand in the same way. Even if it's just feeding alone, just that one piece of it, like how often do you have to feed a newborn? Every 2 hours, that's 12 times a day. You know?
Yes. And I totally agree with you. Yep. And I remember my pediatrician, we brought her, she was like a week old, and she was like, okay, like, is she feeding every 2 hours? And I remember being like almost cross-eyed and being like, let me check my phone. I think so. Like, and now looking back on it, I'm like, oh my God, I remember that moment so vividly, being like, wow, I was so much more frazzled than I realized in that time.
Yep.
And yeah, it's hard.
It's hard. It's definitely, and I will say just that, just for me personally, each time has not been easier. It's just been different. And it's harder because you have more kids to take care of course. You're never going to be, if you grow your family, you're never going to be one-on-one 100% of the time like you are with your new baby. And I remember when I went back to maternity leave with my first, I was so sad. Thinking, not the fact that I was going back to work, but the fact that I was never going to have that one-on-one time with her again, the way that we did, because I knew if I had another baby, my maternity leave would now be two kids. It wouldn't just be that one-on-one time. And that's what made me the most sad. But anyways, so the last question that I want to ask you is kind of looking back, and you already kind of said one thing that you would do differently was, a friend group and kind of a pregnancy group, something like that. But is there anything that kind of shocked you with the transition into motherhood? Something that you like weren't expecting at all?
Yes, I was not expecting to not prioritize myself. Or like kind of just like almost lose myself, because you just pour in every second, and at least I did, every second of my thoughts, right? Or if I'm like, if I have a free second, like sleep when the baby sleeps, that's absolutely not people that say that as advice. I'm like, so like every other waking moment, I'm like Googling things or like adding things to my Amazon cart for the baby. And I think it took me a really long time to realize, like, wait a minute, like I am a mom now, but I also am still like Megan, right? And it's okay for those people to coexist. And it's okay for me to kind of like still be myself and be a mom. And I think I lost myself in that for a while. And that was tough for me. What about you?
Yeah, I wasn't even thinking of that, but I would say absolutely. And I would say that's one that I'm even still really trying to work on. I think in all aspects of my life, whether that's my health and working out and taking time for myself, taking knowing that I don't need to be there for bedtime every single night, that we can alternate, although the kids might not like it, really kind of just setting those boundaries and letting them know that, you know, I'll be there tomorrow night. And I think it's beneficial for everyone that he gets one-on-one time with them, but it also, I can step away and take care of myself and my needs to be who I am, which I think is really important. And I think that's very common, that you just pour yourself into motherhood and you lose yourself along the way. And so trying to kind of reclaim that and is something that I am always working on. And the other would be breastfeeding. That is something that fully shocked me about motherhood, was just how challenging it was. I would say for the first two, for me, it was something I really did not enjoy. Like people say, oh my gosh, I love it. I hated it. And it wasn't until the third time around where I could really appreciate it more. But it's hard. It takes a lot of time. It doesn't work for everybody. And it just, another area where I think could be more education up front for those who want to do it, so they could come out successful on the other end, is an area where, yeah, I just did not feel prepared. And I struggled big time with Nyx, my first.
Absolutely. And even if it is like not even that difficult of a journey and you do enjoy it, there are so many levels to it that like scheduling, for example, like I could never, and I still cannot figure out like when I would nurse her and then like
2 hours from what?
2 hours from what? And like, oh, well, I should fit a pumping session in to increase my supply. But if I do a pumping session, then next time it's time for her to nurse in 20 minutes, there's going to be no milk in there. Like it just, that cycle of just like questioning everything within breastfeeding, really, I totally agree with you. That it got to me. Not to mention the beginning, your nipples have to get used to it. So that's not physically easy.
And then people like, it's not supposed to hurt. Like it hurts. It hurts in the beginning. Like, I'm sorry, unless you have nipples of steel, it's going to hurt a little bit to start, or a lot. Like, I don't know. It does hurt.
So that itself is shocking. And then actually having to figure out, you know, if you have whatever kind of journey you have, like logistically, to me, I was just like, oh, okay, here you go. That's a topic for a different day.
It is. Yeah, no, it definitely is. And that's definitely one that I didn't expect in any of this to be where I am today, kind of so passionate about birth, breastfeeding, all things babies and toddlers, and even kind of like sitting here doing a podcast right now. I feel like motherhood has changed me, not only because of my kids, but I'm just so passionate about all things involved with it. And so, yeah, it's been an interesting journey.
It has, wouldn't change it for the world.
I would not. Which is after maybe a little bit more sleep from my toddlers.
Yeah. We
can, that's it. That's it. We'll work on the sleep part.
We'll work on some sleep charts or something next week. Yeah. Okay. All right. With that, I just want to thank everybody so much for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed this episode, we would love for you to subscribe and give us a review. You can find us at Love Baby and Toddler on social media, and we will be back next Tuesday with a new episode.